I will call the Thursday, March 19th Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Sumoff, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Excused.
Commissioner Haley?
Expected, but we'll excuse him for the moment.
City Engineer Morrow?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
She is excused.
Commissioner Fowler?
Yeah.
Folks, come on.
Yeah. Here.
We can't have these outbursts. This is a public meeting. We're supposed to behave and have decorum. Let's please do that, or I'll have to ask those who have outbursts to leave. So please. Alderwoman Mayor is on vacation. Okay, so we have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item B, B1, approval of the regular meeting minutes of March 5th. In your package, you have the meeting minutes. Any additions or corrections?
Move approval.
Second.
Been moved and approved. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C1, Hiller Ford Building Expansion and Remodeling. Yes, and the chairman will be voting this evening as a member. Hiller Ford Building Expansion and Remodeling, Mr. Deedle.
Mr. Sumoff could read the public hearing notice.
Mr. Sumoff, please.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, March 19th, 2015 at 7 o'clock p.m. or soon thereafter as the item may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to your public comment regarding an application by Hiller Ford, Inc. and Dealership Properties, Inc. for an amendment to a special use permit for a new and used car dealership building expansion and remodeling of the showroom, offices, and service writing area, body shop addition, construction of a used vehicle sales building, and associated parking and landscaping changes upon property located at 6381, 6411, 6455, and 6421 South 108th Street, and properties bearing tax key numbers 704-9976-005 and 704-9998-004, such properties being zoned M1 Limited Industrial District and C1 Conservancy District.
Thank you, Mr. Sumoff. Mr. Deedle?
I can provide a real quick summary, and then the applicants are here as well to provide more and answer any questions. As shown on the screen, the Hiller Ford property is on both sides of Whitten Ledge Road, both on the north side and the south side. The public hearing and the proposed changes will touch on most but not all of those parcels. They are making changes to their showroom building, which is immediately south of Whitten Ledge Road. They're making changes to the Quick Lane building, which is immediately south of the showroom building. They'll be making associated parking lot changes and some display areas up front along Highway 100. And they also are proposing to build a brand new road, brand new building for used cars on the parcel that's immediately adjacent to the parcel on the north edge of Whitten Ledge Road that already has a building on it. So that's the changes that are affiliated with the special use. There are two other applications associated with the project, but the special use is for those changes on the site.
Thank you. Mr. Carson, it's a pleasure to have you back with us.
Well, thank you, Commissioner.
Name and address for the record, please.
Mark Carstensen, 9130 West Loomis Road.
Use application.
We're here before you this evening, as Mr. Deedle had just described, with a really nice project. Hiller Ford, who I'm sure everybody knows and are well aware that they've been here for more than 70 years, have been working on designs along with Ford Motor Company to update their entire facility. What we are intending to do tonight, as you can see, I'll grab the photo over here. Is that right? Right.
as you can see, that this is the rendering of a new showroom. So we would be removing the old showroom that's been there since the 60s and replacing it and building a brand new showroom. The design of this showroom is driven specifically by Ford Motor Company. I'm sure that any of you that have been around Southeast Wisconsin, anywhere for that matter in the country, any of the newer Ford dealerships have gone to this design. It's a branding for the Ford Motor Company, and Hiller Ford has decided this year to embrace that and a long-needed facelift to their facility. Along with this, we would be adding six service bays to the, if for those who know Hiller Ford, it's the auto body shop and the quick lane oil change shop. Those six bays would be facing to the north. That would be facing right along the south end of this building. We also are in tonight for an approval on a new used car building, which is long overdue at Hiller Ford. So we would be building a new used car facility right in the middle of where all the used cars are placed right now. I think it's a great addition to Franklin. Hiller Ford employs more than 100 people. This is going to further enhance their employment, along with obviously being a great corporate citizen and making the building look like it should in 2015.
Very good. This is a public hearing. I will open a public hearing for this matter, special use application for Hiller Ford. Anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Is there anyone wishing to speak?
Give it to them and let's move on while we're really here for it.
One more and I'm going to have to ask you to leave. I'm serious.
That's fine.
Then please leave, sir. If you can't behave, please leave.
I'm behaving. I just said that.
No, you're not. You're interrupting this meeting.
Let's get on while we're really here.
Speak up.
This is a public hearing.
I understand that. And I just said that's fine. Let's move on to why we're really here.
Is there anyone wishing to speak on the special use application for Hiller Ford? Yes, sir. Please, your name and address.
Mike Bush. I bought cars from Hiller Ford.
Can we have your address, please, Mr. Bush?
9455 South 96th Street.
Okay. Could you use the microphone, please? Thank you.
Okay.
You don't need it, but...
No. I've bought cars before from Hiller Ford, and I think they're great people. I think it'll look nice over there. I think you should give them what they want.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing none, I will close the citizen comment period. Mr. Deedle, I apologize. Public hearing. Mr. Deedle, there's several actions here. Would you care to walk us through it based on the changes that we've had?
Sure. In addition to what's in the packet, I'll start with what's in the packet first. In the Plan Commission packet are three related items: this special use amendment, a street vacation to vacate Whitnall Edge Road, and for that street vacation, there's two alternatives shown in the packet. What was originally shown was vacation of the entire right-of-way for Whitnall Edge Road, all the way from Forest Home, all the way to Highway 100. A second proposal was submitted at the last minute by the applicant based on some discussions with one of the other property owners in this area that wasn't proceeding at that moment very well, I suppose, where they were proposing to vacate only a portion of that right-of-way, the easternmost portion that's adjacent to Highway 100. However, just this evening, we found out from the applicant that the negotiations were on again and actually are very far along. They may even acquire that property. So they wish, and I have a letter on file they just gave to me this evening representing signatures from both property owners, Hiller Ford and this other property.
Should
that property right there. So that property owner is now back on board supporting vacation of the entire right-of-way.
So the suggestion there, we need to do the right-of-way first, so the suggestion is to vacate the entire right-of-way.
Correct.
Is there a motion to recommend approval of the vacation of approximately... Mr. Deagle.
I would suggest an addition or a condition to the motion, because this will be tied. So the vacation, the street vacation right-of-way, staff is supportive of, is recommending approval for. However, it's tied very closely to the certified survey map. That one parcel that I pointed out a moment ago, if the street vacation occurred with no other changes to the CSM to what's proposed in the packet this evening, that parcel would be a landlocked parcel. That is not allowed by state statute. The applicant has indicated they are willing to revise that certified survey map to combine that parcel with the rest of the Hiller Ford property that would be on the north side of this Wooden Ledge Road. So I would suggest a condition to that fact.
Would you offer the motion, please?
So as originally stated, the motion would start a motion to recommend approval of the vacation of approximately 1.8290 acres of right-of-way, which extends approximately 60 feet along Wooden Ledge Road between South 108th Street and West Forest Home Avenue, adjacent to property located at 6421, 6431 through 6435, and 6455 South 108th Street, 11131 West Forest Home Avenue, and property adjacent to West Forest Home Avenue bearing tax key number 704-9980-002, subject to combining the parcel, and this is the part that I would suggest adding, subject to combining the parcel bearing tax key number 704-9976-004 with lot 1 on the proposed Hiller Ford 2-lot certified survey map, receiving all such required approvals, and recording the certified survey map with the Milwaukee County Register of Deeds Office.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Discussion of that motion. Mr. City Engineer.
Yeah, we'll point out that that was our only objection. We did not want to leave part of the right-of-way hanging out there. DPW had a tough time trying to conceive plowing what would appear to be somebody's private driveways. Thank you for changing that.
Any other discussion?
Just a couple questions for the planning staff. They talked about the stormwater and the Natural Resource Protection Plan. They've agreed to your suggestions.
We haven't gotten that level of detail. Okay. I suspect they will. All those plans would have to encompass this property as well.
Because if you change that, that's what I'm concerned about. That would be then put in addition to the stormwater plan and the Natural Resource Protection Plan.
Correct.
For this property.
And
that's coming up. Let's do that. All right. That's coming up. This is the right street right-of-way vacation. All those in favor of vacation of the right-of-way signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mayor votes aye. Okay. Item two, the two-lot certified survey map. This one, you want to do this one or the special use? All right. We'll do this. Mr. Deagle.
Thank you. As I noted, the staff is recommending, and I believe the applicant is agreeing to combine this new parcel with the other parcels on north side of Wooden Ledge Road so that we wouldn't have a landlocked parcel. So the CSM would have to be revised to that effect. And so then staff is recommending to the resolution on the CSM in regards to condition number 5, adding the address for this new parcel to condition number 5. In condition number 9, I'll read it as it starts. So condition number 9 currently reads, the applicant shall submit a revised certified survey map to reflect the Wooden Ledge Road right-of-way as it currently exists. I would recommend that it be changed to say that the applicant shall submit a revised certified survey map to reflect removal of the entire West Whitnall Road right-of-way as it currently exists, comma, to combine parcel tax key number 704-9976-004 with the proposed lot number 1, that proposed lots number 1 and 2 be revised accordingly, and that the proposed cross-access easement be removed for staff review and approval prior to recording the certified survey map with the Milwaukee County Register of Deeds Office.
Is there such a motion?
Also, and condition number 10 would not be necessary anymore.
Is there such a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Those conditions meet. Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve as outlined by the city planner, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Mayor votes aye. Okay. We have the special use amendment, which I think Commissioner Fowler has a question on. Was that answered?
Yes.
To your satisfaction. Mr. Deagle.
There would be some minor changes to conditions number 10 and 11 to reflect the changes in the certified survey map. If the Plan Commission wished, we could also add something to conditions number 7, 8, and 9, reflecting the fact that this parcel would be added to the CSM, and therefore those conditions would also apply to this new parcel as well. 7 is the stormwater management plan. Condition number 8 would be the natural resource protection plan. And condition number 9 would be the conservation easement to encompass all three of those, to also encompass this new property. And then I would suggest changes to condition number 10. This condition was similar to the one I just previously read for the certified survey map, if you wish me to read it again. Otherwise, it's the same wording as the certified survey map.
We need to get these in the record appropriately. So your suggested changes to condition number 7 are?
So in response to Commissioner Fowler's comment, it would be the applicant shall obtain a final approval of the stormwater management plan from the city engineer prior to issuance of the building permit to include the subject parcel tax key number 704-9976-004.
Clear on that? All right. You okay?
Yeah.
Item 8, condition 8.
Then the applicant shall have submitted a detailed natural resource protection plan prior to issuance of an occupancy permit to include, again, parcel tax key number 704-9976-004.
And what else did we have? We have
number 9. Similarly, the applicant should submit a written conservation easement for review and approval by the Common Council and recorded with the Milwaukee County Register of Deeds prior to issuance of an occupancy permit to include parcel tax key number 704-9976-004.
And
10. And 10 would be the applicant should submit a revised certified survey map to reflect the removal of the entire West Whitnall Road Edge Road right-of-way as it currently exists, that proposed lots 1 and 2 be revised accordingly, and that parcel tax key number 704-9976-004 be added to proposed lot 1 for staff review and approval prior to recording of the certified survey map with the Milwaukee County Register of Deeds Office.
Is there a motion to recommend approval?
And then a slight change to a condition number 11.
All right, let's have it.
The applicant shall modify the site plan to include removal of the entire Whitnall Edge Road right-of-way and that parcel tax key number 704-9976-004 be compliant with the proposed lot number 1 for staff review and approval prior to the issuance of a building permit.
Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution to amend resolutions number 88-3175, 95-4217, 99-4875, 99-4933, 2004-5733, not recorded, and 2004-5736, imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for properties located at 6381, 6411, 6455, and 6421 South 108th Street to allow building expansion and remodeling of the Hiller Ford new and used car dealership showroom and offices, service writing with a W area, and addition to the existing body shop, construction of a used vehicle sales building, associated parking and landscaping changes with the revisions recommended at this meeting by the city staff at March 19, 2015. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mayor votes aye. Item D1, the temporary use, Mr. Deedle.
Well, this is a Home Depot.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Carson. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
This is a temporary use for Home Depot for seasonal sales. Mr. Deedle.
This request is the same as in, or similar to previous years. They've been asking for this temporary use every year since 2008. However, this time, the last couple of years, it was limited to 90 days. The UDO limits these kinds of temporary uses to 90 days. The applicant was asking for more this time. Staff is recommending approval subject to it being limited only to 90 days as required by the UDO.
Questions for staff? Is there a motion to approve a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use outdoor seasonal tree and shrub sales for property located at 6489 South 27th Street? We know it as Home Depot.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item D2, Met. I'm sorry. I don't often vote, so what do I know? Mayor votes aye. Motion passes. Item D2, Matt Talbot, community-based residential facility. And the applicants are here. Please come forward. And while they're doing that, Mr. Deedle.
Before us is a site plan pursuant to the Unified Development Ordinance. Assisted living facilities, community living arrangements are a permitted use within all residential zoning districts. And as part of that, all they would need is a site plan. And I should clarify, if it's something other than a single or two-family home, it needs a site plan. So they've submitted a site plan application for the construction within a R3 zoned residential district for a community-based residential facility. They're proposing a five-bed or five-resident facility to begin with, proposing that there could be a future expansion to eight. Guiding this is state statute, which requires those facilities to be a permitted use within residentially zoned districts as long as they're eight units or less. That is why the UDO is set up the way it is, where these kinds of uses, which also include adult family homes, are permitted within our residentially zoned districts. As a site plan, we are recommending a couple conditions, essentially that they be confirmed that they will be a licensed community-based residential facility, that the Natural Resource Protection Plan, this property does have a large amount of natural resources on it. They are building outside most of the natural resources. They will be impacting mature woods. Based on the plan they prepared, it will be less than the 30% disturbance that they are allowed. But we want to have that confirmed by a second consultant, so that's one of the conditions as well. They will also need a conservation easement to place these protected natural resource features in a conservation easement. And we are also recommending that they replace the vinyl siding with a fiber cement hardy plank type siding. There is also a related issue that was addressed by the Common Council recently in regards to the public water. This facility will be extending public water to it. It's currently north on Highway 100, and they will bring it down 92nd Street to just a little bit south of where their proposed building is. Staff is recommending approval, and if you have any questions, the applicant is here.
Do have a whole number of questions. The spokesman for the group will be, I need name and address, please.
There are three this evening.
Oh, that's fine.
Lisa Wood, 111 East Kilbourne Avenue, Suite 1400, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Nathan Laurent, West 196, South 8310, Providence Way, Muskego, Wisconsin.
Is it Tabori?
Nathan.
L-A-U-R-E-N-T. Thank you,
Nathan. Robert Pledel, that's P-L-E-D-L, 1110 North 3rd Street in Milwaukee.
Great, thank you. You can see it's a popular subject. People are not pleased, as you know. You've been through this before. You understand the issues involved, I'm sure. Residents have some questions, as do I. Let's start with some easy ones first. It's an 8-unit residential facility. Is that 8 in treatment, or is it a possibility of more than 8?
First of all, the proposal is for 5.
And
it there would have to be a request by Milwaukee County, the funding agency, for an increase. And so there's no current plans to go beyond 5, and we understand that 8 is the maximum based on the zoning, and that's would be a maximum of 5 at this point or a maximum of 8 at some point in the future. Those are the only people who would be there in treatment. There are no other people in treatment on the grounds.
Thank you. You say 8 or 5 individuals?
Individuals.
Or room.
Individuals, there's not double occupancy rooms, it's individuals.
One of the other big issues that's come to us from the constituents who rightly so have these questions, and it's our duty to get answers for them. This location was picked under what criteria? How did you happen to this site?
One of the main reasons for the site was the individuals that are being placed. It's a very large site. It offers, when you're talking a residential area that these are being put in, typical residential lots are small, so 16 parking stalls, outside lights, a basketball court, a lot of things that are going to be there to help with the therapy of the people there and enhance this facility aren't available on other parcels. So the size of the lot and all the natural resources that are available on it, it's heavily screened. Don't have any direct neighbors, seem to be a really good fit for the program. So.
And the fact that it is not, the building won't be visible from the street.
The type of individuals in treatment will be what affliction?
They'll be disabled, as defined under the ADA.
I appreciate that for an attorney. The neighbors would really like to know what the people are, so they know what who their neighbors will be.
They're not predetermined, so it's
The most likely population are people with mental illness and people with developmental disabilities. And so people who don't have that level of disability don't need to live in a CBRF. And so Milwaukee County's plans for this are that there are people with developmental disabilities and mental illness who also have medical issues and require more supervision, and so that's the population that they're talking about.
So on your write-up, there's a discussion about the security features that you're going to offer the facility and the neighbors. Can you describe those for us?
So as part of the building, there is a system called WanderGuard. It's used in memory care facilities and lots of type of CBRFs. Basically, all of the exits in this building, there are 3 doors that exit to the outside of the building. All of those have alarmed monitoring on them. So anytime that door is opened by other than somebody from the staff who has a card access, an alarm goes off. It sounds throughout the facility. So everybody's going to be contained inside. Anytime that an individual from the facility is outside, they will be accompanied by staff. There's cameras at all doors, cameras inside the facility. It is well lit outside, so that basically people are contained inside the facility, and when they're outside of the facility, then they're accompanied by staff.
This facility defined as a transitional care facility or as a treatment, long-term treatment?
It's not even long-term treatment. That's quite...
Yes, please. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The population we're talking about, they do move sometimes. They have a reason to move somewhere else. But this is not transitional.
I can think of some CBRFs exactly like this where they, people live there for years. There's a couple CBRFs I helped open up 20 years ago, and the people are still living there.
So the current staffing is 3-to-1. Can you describe the staffing level and the capabilities of the staff, please?
Okay. First of all, and this is sort of CBRF 101, and that is everything we're talking about is specified to by the Department of Health Services. There are regulations that say if people have this level of need, you need so much staff. Okay, and then the CBRF regulations also specify how your staff is trained, and so they're trained on emergency medical procedures. They're trained on how to supervise people, how to handle people's behaviors, basic medical issues, and so the training ends up being it's not a medical training, but it's close to certified nursing assistant training. That's what they end up with in any CBRF.
So the referrals to this is from their hospital referrals, their social work referrals? Just trying to figure out how they get here.
Okay. Milwaukee County is the central clearinghouse, as it were, for all of the county mental health programs. So this could be someone who is living at home, but they are identified as needing this service. It could be somebody that's in a hospital who's identified as needing this service. But this is a pretty high level of service. So for every person who gets put into a CBRF like this, there are dozens of other people who are being triaged, and they say, well, they don't need this level of service.
For city purposes, do you have these facilities elsewhere with similar residents?
The operator here has other facilities, and I can tell you that another one, almost identical to this, is being developed in the near future, and that's not going to be around here. It'll be elsewhere, but they've been asked to develop several facilities.
And what I'd like to get, excuse us, folks, remember the rules.
I understand, but you didn't answer the question. You just danced around it. Answer the question, man.
This organization operates all kinds of treatment facilities, CBRFs, and none exactly like this one. But yes, they operate similar places.
And the experience with emergency services, estimated number of ambulance calls, police, fire calls, that kind of thing.
Yep, I've been asked that question in about 100 meetings like this. And
that just means that I'm falling right in line with them.
And of course, it's a great question to ask. And the answer is that CBRFs tend not to have a high rate of emergency service use. And here's the way to look at this. If these five people with significant disability and medical needs were living dispersed in any municipality, they would have a number of emergency service calls. But they are in a staffed facility. If something comes up, the first thought isn't going to be, let's call an ambulance. The first thought is going to be, let's go through our protocol, assess the situation. And so most of the medical calls to CBRFs are calling a private ambulance because they're able to talk to the on-call doctor, figure out what to do, and not just call 911 and call your emergency services.
Okay. Mr. Dietl, we had a report this morning from the health officer. Can you describe to us how many CBRFs are in the city?
16 CBRFs in the city. three adult family homes. The closest one is just north of Putes Road, about 3,600 feet from this facility or this site.
And I'm asking this rhetorically, I have it in front of me, but the typical use for these CBRFs is generally what in your...
There's a printout from the state that shows the types of services they provide. There's a lot of overlap amongst them. It's different ages, a lot of senior services related, brain trauma, drug and alcohol recovery, those kinds of services. Alzheimer's even.
For the record, there's one on near Ryan Road, age, developmental disabilities, and emotionally disturbed, traumatic brain injury. Another one near here, advanced age, developmentally disabled, physical disability. Another one north of the House of Corrections, advanced age, developmentally disabled, irreversible dementia, Alzheimer's. We've got, four pages up here. All of them are similar. All of them similar to the treatment services you're going to offer, the residential services.
And I'll just say, when you look at CBRF population in the state as a whole or in any municipality, the biggest number is elderly. And obviously it's elderly that also have some other conditions. So frequently it's Alzheimer's or other mental health issues, or it could be medical issues. The next biggest group is people with developmental disabilities, cognitive disabilities, mental retardation, if people aren't familiar with those words. Then the next smallest group would be people with mental illness.
Do you, is there anything you want to offer the residents here to help them understand your program and to try to get them to be less concerned than they are?
Well, I guess I'm going to take a stab at that.
The
biggest thing is you already know you've got a lot of CBRFs in your community, and you don't have enough CBRFs in your community, because the need is growing. When we project out in Milwaukee County, just the people who live in Milwaukee County who are getting older, and unfortunately there are other disabilities that strike people at younger ages. Like when I started doing this 30 years ago, there weren't very many brain injury facilities. And now more and more people are surviving worse and worse traffic accidents. And so there's been this huge explosion in the need for brain injury group homes. And so that's what the group home field does, is gets told by different units of government, hey, this is the need we see coming. And in Milwaukee County, what we've got is a certain number of people with mental illness who need this level of service. There are people with serious mental illness living in every neighborhood in Franklin. And particularly as they age, they're going to not just be mentally ill, but they're also going to have medical problems on top of that. And so if you're trying to picture the population, that's the most likely group that's going to be in there. I just can't emphasize the medical component enough. It's difficult enough to manage serious medical conditions in anybody, but if people with mental disabilities who aren't very cooperative with their treatment sometimes, that's why one of the reasons they might need this high level of service. As you've heard, there's going to be a significant staff there. The parking issue is just we don't want at shift change when the people coming into work are going to have their cars there and the people leaving work are going to have their cars there. I've seen that situation in a place that just has a couple of parking spaces, and of course everybody's jockeying around, and I think the neighbors find that more disconcerting than these parking spaces that are going to be out of sight. And then the other thing you touched on, emergency services, as I said, I had this experience in a number of municipalities where they've gotten printouts of CBRF emergency calls and the types of calls, and they tend not to be big users of emergency services for the reasons that I gave. I think the important thing about this is that there was a real recognition that we're looking for a big site, and I just don't think there's neighbors are going to know what's going on there. I think it's there's going to be and
folks.
Thank you.
I do appreciate you working with me and avoiding that kind of thing. It means a lot to me. It shows respect for us as well as the applicant. So thank you for.
Yep.
And
then the other thing I'll just say is obviously this is a permitted use, and so I think that the applicant has demonstrated what it needs to in terms of the development issues and so on, but they also want to be good neighbors. That's number one. Number two, the State Department of Health Services monitors these things extremely closely, and so it can't even open until all of its treatment plan and everything is approved. It can't open until Department of Health Service surveyors go through and make sure every outlet is in the right place and every physical criteria is met. And then these places are periodically surveyed by the State Department of Health Services. I've got a group home client that just had two state surveyors in for an entire day last week, and the Department of Health Services takes its job very seriously, and that means that they check every piece of paper to make sure medications are prescribed properly, that the people who live there, that all of their medical needs are being met. And so, you know, that's what I can tell you about the ones I know about that are already in operation.
Now let's talk about the sewer and water for a moment. Mr. City Engineer, what is the city policy regarding extension of sewer and water to our undeveloped parcel?
I think specifically the water was the biggest concern. We typically make applicants extend water all the way across their property line. In this situation, they had to go quite a ways to get water, to get service, and they are extending water. They are upsizing it from an 8-inch, which is the minimum that they need, to a 16-inch that we would like to desire. The Board of Water Commissioners has the authority to grant exceptions to that policy, and they recommend to council that the council allow them to not take it all the way across the parcel, because it is likely that in the future this parcel would be split up into additional lots. That was taken to Common Council, and Common Council agreed and allowed them to stop short of the entire parcel.
Thank you. Okay, well, let's move on to the business at hand and the site. Site plan, Mr.
Deal. Where's the access? Highway 100?
We'll come to it. That's part of this. I knew you were going to ask. It's coming.
So the subject area is on the photograph. Of course, it's an undeveloped parcel, so nothing shows up there yet. You can see that there's a large wetland just at the bottom of the screen. The building is going to be built approximately halfway between that purple line and the wetland on the bottom. The building will have a driveway. So as you can see, it's heavily wooded now. They're going to remove the woods for the building site, the parking lot, the basketball court, the driveway, and in a yard area around that. The driveway will come off 92nd Street, approximately where the, I believe it's the fourth driveway from that purple line. About here. And then the building will be on the north side of that driveway in here.
The lights will follow. well with it.
Folks, please.
Well, you said there was no neighbors.
He's right across the street.
He's sitting right there.
Continue, Mr. Deagle.
It's going to be a single-story building. It'll be approximately 3,700 square feet in size, about 16 and a half feet. Normal height, the peak of the roof at about 30 feet. The total lot coverage will be met. They're going to have about 13,700 square feet of impervious surface. That's well under the maximum amount that they're allowed. They will have a garbage dumpster. They will have a basketball court. They will have 16 parking spaces. That is more than normally required for the number of beds or rooms that they will have in this facility. But it's within the limit that the Plan Commission can approve. And staff did believe that they provided a good explanation of why they would need that many for the high staffing levels. They are also setting aside a 30-foot landscape buffer yard fronting on Highway 100. And as I mentioned before, staff is recommending approval with a couple conditions, those being changing the vinyl siding to cement, requiring that this be certified and licensed by the state as a community-based residential facility, and that the Natural Resource Protection Plan be reviewed and approved by a consultant, and then the conservation easement be reviewed and approved by the city.
We don't have any of these available to put up, do we?
We have a copy that we could share, but none that,
none that we can put up. All right.
We may be able to find an electronic version.
That would be
or
a good thing.
Or in a search.
My initial concern is for the neighbor across the street that that the driveway not line up with their house. It would be very disheartening to have the headlights from people coming and going shining into their living rooms. And this is a common condition here in the city of Franklin that we not align driveways directly across from homes. I'd vote for the site plan.
Those are the elevations of the proposed building, so what the sides of the building will look like. If you could minimize that and then pull up the site plan first. So this page shows the protected natural resource features. So the crosshatched areas, the different colors and shading of those crosshatched areas are protected natural resource features. The areas in white are those that are not protected and buildable. That lighter gray area on the left side is where they're going to clear trees to build the building, the parking lot, the basketball court. So this is the location of where the building is going to be, parking lot and basketball court, and the driveway would be right in here.
I think if you keep going, there's some better ones.
So this is zoomed in. This is what the building and the parking lot's going to look like.
We've seen them.
Okay.
Oh, I was trying to do you a favor.
Sorry.
So what okay. they've shown here well, let's, are the larger trees.
For the Plan Commission.
So what they've shown here in the circles and dots are the larger trees. In most instances, they are going to be retained and kept. If you quote to the next one, I think they're going to show the silt fence location or area of disturbance. So roughly speaking, this is the area where they're going to disturb the greatest. They're going to remove everything that was in and build a parking lot and buildings. So most of this will remain. Most of this will remain. As you go out a little bit further, then they won't be touching anything at all.
Commissioner Hogan.
Mr. Mayor, if you're suggesting they move the entrance to the facility, where on this, could you show me where it would go?
I can't, because this particular drawing doesn't show us clearly the driveway accesses or the location of the homes across the street.
Do you have something that?
Yeah, but the driveway doesn't help us. I need more of the
Nathan, shine
in their living room. I don't care if it's shining.
Typically, we wouldn't. I mean, when we collect and survey data on property, we don't collect all of the homes and driveways for every adjacent property. We could utilize. I mean, any developer wouldn't typically grab survey data for everything in the area. When you build a home, I mean, there are your driveways across from your neighbor, your homes across from them. We could certainly consider alternate access placements for the driveway, but the design that is here leaves as many natural resources and mature trees as we can. That was where the decision to put the driveway was.
Understand what I'm asking. Don't want headlights in his living room. If they're going to his garage, don't harm, no foul.
Okay, so in line with a part of the structure that's not habited.
Correct.
Inhabited, so.
Thank you. Mr. Deedle, when you're ready.
So they're going to buy this entire property, but they're only going to disturb this area here. They're not doing anything within the 50 feet of this gray area is the wetland. This is the setback, and this is the buffer. So they're not going to be able to do anything within that area. They're not going to do anything to the south of this property. They're not going to, at this point in time, they don't have any plans. If they wanted to build another building, they would have to come back through the same process. If they wanted to subdivide this property, they would have to come back for a certified survey map. If they wanted to change the zoning, they would have to have a public hearing, come back plan commission, and go to the council as well. Primarily, that's it. I believe they wish to build this year yet, so that they would be ready this fall.
Question, Mr. Commissioner Fowler.
Just a couple questions. Is Loomis, access to Loomis for the driveway, is that not a possibility?
St. Martin.
Excuse me, Ryan. Is that Ryan?
No.
Sorry. Well, I thought it was Loomis. My mistake.
They would be required to get a new access or a new driveway connection, which are next to impossible to get.
Is that state? Yep.
Yeah.
There's an easement restricting access. There's no access into that.
And the second question is, well, it would help.
Commissioner, would you say that in the microphone?
There's a recorded restriction to access the property onto that road.
Restriction is from the previous landowner or? I didn't want you to have to petition.
I believe it's the state of Wisconsin, the DOT.
Isn't there a driveway already off that road to a house that's coming off Highway 100? It's right in my backyard. There's my neighbor in the back. They've got a driveway off Highway 100. A lot of houses on Highway 100 driveway.
There's a notice of non-access to or across controlled access highway, and it was recorded in April 26, 2004.
We're not taking questions or comments, but I did hear what you said. There's a difference between what exists and what may exist. Commissioner Fowler, you have the floor.
Yeah, just a couple other questions. So if I understand correctly, I had lived by one of the facilities like this in Milwaukee for 10 years. And if I remember correctly, the number of people that were in that facility, they were also, I don't know if your facility does, but some were veterans with brain injuries from previous World War II, Vietnam. Other issue was they seemed to be mostly senior citizens who usually, for some reason or another, family is not supporting them or they just have no other place to go and they're trying to get to a family facility. So these are not, you're not talking about people that have felonies or records or things of that nature. This is mostly going to be senior citizens on the whole? Because that's the facility that I was by. It seemed like 90% of them were.
And what I told you is the this facility could have a younger person in it if they met the criteria and were referred there. But by and large, these facilities serve elderly people because that's when the medical issues and the disability issues start to catch up with certain folks.
How about offenders?
There are no plans to put offenders here.
If and just a couple of things on that. My understanding is they would be inspected. I remember the state inspected. I think it was at least once a year that they seemed to come by. And they also talked with, at times, the neighbors because we were, like, cheek to jowl with this facility. So they did come and talk to neighbors about complaints that they had. I don't know if these inspectors would do that here, but they might. Third was the, again, the nature of the residents were mostly elderly. But I do remember, are veterans going to be allowed to come to these facilities, or is that something that would not happen? Do they get referred to you by the county?
Sure. There's certainly an unfortunate number of veterans who have mental health issues, and those are part of the population that would be served.
And if I understand, for Milwaukee County, the number of beds for veterans such as these, because I have a family member in Nebraska who needs a facility, and they can't find one because they can't cite them, is there an issue for siting and space in Milwaukee County? Is how big is the need?
There's a big need for veteran services in general. There have been several residential facilities that have come online in Milwaukee County in the last 5 years because I think of a national recognition that we need more veteran services, particularly in the area of mental health. There are several apartment complexes that provide supportive services for veterans with mental illness. But yes, I think it's quite possible that veterans with mental illness could be referred to this place because they're in the group that needs to be served.
But just and following up on that, because my understanding is the federal government, it's the state and the counties that bear the burden for a lot of the medical care for veterans.
That's about right.
And if they don't have the facilities, it falls on all of us to do something. So
yes.
Just wanted to make a point of that.
Yes.
Any other questions for the applicant? Commissioner Hogan.
I'm still on this driveway thing. From what you're, I know you said you couldn't show me anything because of whatever is up there now, but from what you have drawn up, do you think or know, that, can you give me an answer? Can that be moved? Because I'm looking at the trees that are on both sides.
I mean, certainly the driveway could be moved, but it will result in disturbing more mature trees, which, you know, we're trying to follow the city's intent of their code to leave as many mature trees as possible. So,
well, are you removing trees to make this driveway to go in?
Yes, we are.
So those would be staying if you get a different entrance.
I understand that. I mean, but there's
the, well, you're stating that
the density, if you look at the plan, the density of trees mm-hmm. to the north and the south of it is much more
okay.
dense than where it is where our driveway comes
okay.
through.
Okay. So if you can't move it, Mayor?
I mean, certainly.
Joe? I
believe they're still under the amount of trees. They might be close, but I believe they're still under the amount of trees they can cut. So as long as they stay below that 30%, if it's important enough to the neighbor to realign that driveway, we can allow them to go to that full 30% of the tree removal. So if another location takes a few more trees, that would probably be okay.
Well, Commissioner, let's be clear here. We're not sure there's a problem. I'm trying to avoid one.
Okay. Yep.
So just so everybody's clear.
Yes, so the first step is the final where
it
lines up.
Is going to be
now.
A problem.
Correct. There could
can
be
they move
a,
it?
There could be a condition 10 that states all efforts shall be made to align driveways such that there's no layer. So put your head to that one, Joel. Commissioner Hogan, anything else?
No.
Commissioner Fowler.
Well, if we can realign the driveway at the expense of a few trees and they're below the 30%, I don't see why we couldn't make that mandatory.
Exactly.
Or whatever we ask for, because it's, they're still going to be within the ordinance.
If needed. Yes.
If needed.
If needed.
Anything else for the applicant on the site plan for Matt Talbot Community Based Residential Facility.
Why can't we have a public hearing?
If I could just say one more thing. I was giving you a lot of answers about demographics and how the CBRF industry works. I guess I better say a couple of lawyer things. And one is that under state law, this is a permitted use. What happened is the state legislature looked at the immense need for CBRFs and projected out what we had to do to serve that the future needs, and they passed a law that said municipalities have to allow them in residential areas as long as they're no bigger than 8. And I think everybody should have a chance to say what they want to say tonight, but the legislature has already decided that just like if I bought that place and decided to just put up a ranch house of my own, there wouldn't have to be a hearing about whether I got to live there. There might be a plan commission issue, but there isn't. I can't be told, no, you can't live there because we don't like your kind or whatever. And so the state law also says that CBRFs of up to 8 beds are permitted use, and other than meeting plan commission issues, it has to be allowed there. So,
well, as the mayor of the city, I'm not aware of any meeting that you've held with the neighbors. So these folks rightly are concerned. Some of them ask me. I absolutely understand their concern. So my request, says Mayor, my request is that you, as soon as we're done here, you stand up and turn around, and there are a couple of people who have taken lead on this particular matter, that you meet with them and arrange an open and public meeting. I can make arrangements here to have the facility at City Hall made available to you. That you meet with them and have a very frank and open conversation with them about your plans, your facilities. Certainly lawyers are welcome, but no lawyers speak. So do you agree to that?
Well, sure.
Absolutely. It's the good neighbor thing to do.
It's the good neighbor thing to do.
Thank you very much. Mr. Dietl, you have an a record for condition 10.
Could add a condition such that the applicant investigate the possibility of realigning the proposed driveway that car lights within that driveway do not shine within any neighbor's living areas.
Dwelling, not living room.
Okay.
I'm okay with garages, but not living space. You understand the nature of it.
We understand, but I just wanted to clarify that garage was not part of the dwelling, as you referenced.
Is that okay? Do you mind if they go into your driveway, your garage?
You can look at all three of them. I've got three properties that are...
Well, we can only deal with the one that's supposing the
entrance. Them all, sir.
Okay. Commissioner Fowler.
Can we also add that the Planning Commission would strongly suggest that they meet with the residents and have a meeting? And is that city attorney? Is that too much of a...
It's already on the record.
They okay. Agreed. For those
on the
here,
record.
The city attorney has claimed that it says it's on the record and they've agreed to it, so it'll happen. Okay, so is there a motion to approve a resolution approving a site plan for a 5 to 8 bedroom resident, state licensed community based residential facility development for Matt Talbot Community Service based residential facility, including the additional condition offered by the planning manager?
So moved.
I'll second.
Discussion of the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mayor votes aye. Thank you. The last item on the agenda is no longer applicable. Kayla's crew all accessible.
Railroads
and playground. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Yep.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. For those of you in the audience, I do appreciate you being as control as you were. Thank you.